So let's keep on the lookout for that. All right, go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, and we'll see if we can get past four verses today. Acts chapter 6, we'll go ahead and read those four verses, we'll pray, and then we will begin. So the Bible says in Acts 6, verse 1, "Now in those days, as the disciples were multiplying, there was murmuring among the Hellenists against the Hebrews, because their widows were overlooked in the daily distribution. So the 12 called a multitude of disciples together and said, 'It is not reasonable for us to leave the word of God and serve tables. Brothers, look among yourselves for seven men who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint over this duty. But we will give ourselves, listen, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what was said pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, who was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they presented before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they placed their hands on them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us all together. Lord, just thank you for just the joy that I hear, Lord. I remember this morning just being in my office and just hearing all the laughter, Lord, and just people fellowshipping, Lord, and just brought joy to my heart. God, I just pray that today you would just meet with us, God. I pray that you would allow us to dig into your word. I pray, Lord, that what you have for us will be delivered. I pray that you will take me completely out of myself, Lord. Let this not be any way that Adrian might preach or teach, Lord, but let it be you speaking to your people, Lord, what you want them to hear. In your heavenly and in your holy name we pray. Amen. So, as you remember, and I'm going to go through this really quick. As you remember, last week, right, we caught back up as to what was going on in the church, right? So we saw the church grow. We're seeing persecution. But then we're also seeing struggles, right? We're seeing that the church grew at such a rate that problems came in. And in the next several verses, I believe that we're going to dig into something that as a church we need to keep in mind, something that we need to realize, and something that we're going to have to fix. Right? Some things that we just have to make sure are at the forefront as we move forward. But we see that what this early church did, we see that there was a need, we see that there was a neglect, something was happening that should not have been going on. Some widows were being neglected, and they got up and they chose men. They said, okay, we need men to kind of stand up and take charge of this. We need men who are going to make sure that what needs to get done in the church gets done here. And that's exactly what we did. I believe it was in February where we chose deacons to come and to serve and just be able to just bond and get things done that need to get done, right? So where we left off in verse 4, it says this, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So, like, here's where it gets awesome. Here's where I believe it gets good, right? Now, I believe in the Word of God, and I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and I believe that it reads the way that it does for a reason. And what I see in verse 4 is that the apostles did one thing. They put prayer before preaching. They put prayer before preaching. Now, look at the pattern that Jesus set for us, right? Jesus spent the night in prayer before choosing the 12 disciples. He woke up before dawn to pray before extending his Galilean ministry, right? Those two go hand in hand. And we need to make sure that as we go forward, as we live our lives, and this isn't just for the pastor, but we need to make sure that we are praying. Guys, this morning I was laying in bed and I just couldn't get up, and I wanted to get up, but I didn't want to get up, and you know, just kind of arguing with myself back and forth. Crystal's sleeping, and I'm like, do I wake her up? Do I tap her and be like, oh, you're awake? You know? And like the thought just comes to my mind, well, just read his word. Just pray. Just pray. So I'm like, okay. So I took my time. I started reading his word, and I just started praying while she's enjoying her beauty sleep, right? You can tell she looks beautiful this morning, right? But so do I know. No, but you know, what do we do? I believe that we focus so much on everything else other than preaching. Why don't we want to pray? And I believe that what ends up happening is this, is that if we say, guys, let's have a Bible study, boom, let's do it. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about XYZ. Yeah, I'm in. I'm down. Woo! Yeah, let's do it. But if we say, let's pray, who has a prayer request? I don't want to raise my hand in front of people. If we say, hey, let's sit in a circle and let's just pray for one another, right? Whoever's churn, whoever wants to pray, just let them speak up. And what ends up happening is that we don't. And I'm not asking you to do something that you're uncomfortable with, but I'm asking you to pray and see if that's what the Lord would have you do. Would he have you pray? And you know what the answer is? What do you think it is? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Let's look at it, right? Prayer is the most powerful and effective means of service in the kingdom of God. But listen, it is the most neglected. The most neglected. Because I bet you that if we said, hey guys, let's meet at church 2 hours. No, you know what? Let's be nice. An hour before church and let's pray. How many do you think we will have that are here praying for the service, praying for the people, praying for the visitors, praying for the children, praying for the community? Any guess? I'm going to go with two. I'm going to go with two. Because I've seen it happen in many, many, many churches. Now look at what Philippians 4:6 says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? By prayer and supplication with gratitude, make your requests known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Again, not just a pastor, but a Christian is called to pray to an almighty God who hears us. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. A church needs to have a compassion ministry. A church needs to have a preaching ministry if it is going to be a biblical church. But that focus should not deter us from our main focus. And guys, our main focus is the Word of God. Okay, too much of a good thing, guys, is a bad thing. Is it okay to go serve the community? Okay, so apparently not all of you believe that. Okay, is it good to serve your community? Yes. Is it good to make meals for the homeless? Yes. Is it good to just be a blessing? But if you do that and neglect your prayer and preaching, there's something wrong with that. Is there anything wrong with preaching? No. We need to hear preaching. We need to be in the Word of God, right? Oh, come on, guys. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. See, I keep telling you I don't want to stand on chairs, but then this reaction makes me want to just run around a little bit, and I hurt my leg. So help a brother out here, okay? Is preaching a bad thing? No. No. But when we elevate preaching and don't do anything else, there's something wrong with that. Guys, okay, let's talk about soul winning. Should we see people come to know him? Should we go and invite? Should we go and give the gospel? Should we go and just, you know, I'm not saying be 100% confrontational, but is it okay to just be like, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Is there anything wrong with giving out the gospel?
No.
Yet there are some people that would elevate that to the point of gospel, and that all they focus on is growth, growth, growth. And by growth, I mean numerical growth and numerical conversions. But then they forget about the discipleship aspect of it. Guys, I'm on this because I believe that we need to get to that point. We are lacking in the fact that I love it. I love it that I see a family when I look at each and every one of you. Right? I love it because I can sit here and I can tell at this point who's here and who's missing. So if you're at home, I know you're there. Right? But I can tell that, and I love seeing you guys interact. But we need more than Sundays, guys. We need more than Sundays. We need to pray for one another, and we need to make that evident to everyone. Well, I just pray at home in my prayer closet. No, that's good, but what about praying at church? Crystal went up to me the other day, and don't get mad. Girl, women, don't get mad at me, please. Please don't get mad at me. I looked at her and I'm like, honey, I appreciate all you do. I said, but in the next women's Bible study, can we just have just like, you know, Bible? Don't get mad. I love you. I love you. I don't know, just something. And she's like, what about the women in the Bible and their characteristics and their virtues? And I'm like, I love it. I love it. But why? Because we need to be in the Word. We need to understand the Word. We need to know what it says and why it says it and why we believe it. That's why I love the young adults class. Those are some like crazy topics. Did you hear some of them? Give me the last three, Jesse, the last three.
So we had a Christian view on depression
and mental illness.
We had
deep dive into spiritual gifts. The reprobate mind, and this Sunday it's what?
This Sunday it is a Christian perspective.
A Christian perspective on yoga, meditation, and spirituality. Whether you realize it or not, you've probably asked yourself those questions, and you've probably pushed them aside, being like, "Well, I have a question about that, but who do I go to? Who do I ask?" And those are some tough topics. I kid you not. So you put in how many hours for each one of these? 8 to 12 hours for one message, teaching. Now, granted, it could, knowing Jesse, it's lasted up to 3 hours in the past, but still. And that's what we need. We need more of that, because I bet you that if the young adults have a question, I know who they're going to go to. Who do you think? They said Google. They're going to go to Jesse. They're going to go to Jesse. So let me bring this about to you. If you have a question, who do you go to? If you have a question and you cannot get a hold of me, who else is there? Who do you go to? Good point. The deacons. The leadership team, right? But do we think that off the bat? We're like, oh, no. Where do I go? And if we don't know, that's the problem. Some of these examples are good, and some just aren't effective. Look at verse 5. And what was said pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, who was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they presented before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they placed their hands on them. Now, guys, we see several things here. Remember that it was the Hellenist widows that were being neglected, and from the names given, Hellenistic deacons were chosen. We also see the introduction of Stephen, who will be a key figure in the proclamation of Christ to the Sanhedrin, and Philip, who would be instrumental in taking the gospel to the Samaritans. We then see the apostles laid hands on these men, because laying hands on someone symbolized the bestowal of a blessing, and it also represented identification with the person, commissioning as a kind of successor and granting authority. So here the commissioning for a task is in view. The only thing that laying on hands can pass is germs, okay? Jeff, come up here for a second. And I know it's COVID. I get it. But check this out, right? Why are we so afraid to say, brother, I'm praying for you? And why do we stand there like, let me pray for you, okay? Lord, I just pray that you be, hold on. Lord, I pray, hold on. Yes. Lord, I pray that you be with my brother that's standing way over there, and I pray that you would bless him. And I'm being serious. What is wrong with us? Let me pray for you, brother. And you lay your hand on him and just pray for him. Pray for God to bless them. Pray for God to use them. Pray for God to deliver them, whatever. What is wrong with that? So you know what I'm going to do? And I said I was going to do this, but now put it on the calendar, all right? We're going to do this. Our first service in the new building, we're going to have all of the deacons come forward, and we're going to pray for them. We're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to commission them. We voted for them. But let me ask you this, they're deacons. Have you prayed for them? And have you prayed for their ministry? And have you prayed for God to use them and give them wisdom in this new ministry that they have? Don't answer. But why don't we do this? We just weren't brought up that way. Go ahead and sit down. We weren't brought up that way. So it's different for us. But let me read it again. Let me read it again. Okay? Again, I don't know why this comes up, but it just comes up. Whom they presented before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they placed their hands on them. Guys, when I went to Vegas in January for that pastor's conference, you know what was awesome? Is they said, we want all church planting pastors to come forward. And you had over 10 church planters that came forward and just stood at the front. And then they said, if you would like to pray for them, please come forward. And all these different pastors and ministry leaders, you know, assistant pastors came forward, And there's one where if you look, and this felt weird to me, again, because I'm not used to it, but, you know, I had one guy who had his hand on my shoulder here, had another guy here, had another guy who stood behind me and put his hand on my head, and I'm just like, is that the only spot you had? Or, you know, come on. You know, but for me, it was weird, and I'll share that picture. But it was amazing to hear these men just praying, God, keep them. God, use them. God, bless them. God, keep them from harm. God, keep them from falling. God, bless their ministry. And it was amazing. But we don't do that. And it bothered me a little bit. When the apostles put their hands on the head of the deacons, it meant that the deacons would now be partners with them. They were together in the service. It designated these men were set aside for this office, denoting their fellowship in the things of Christ and in their positions as representatives for the corporate body of believers. Prayer accompanied this ceremony on this occasion, as was customary. Tannehill said this, the early church had problems, but according to Acts, it also had leaders who moved swiftly to ward off corruption and find solutions to internal conflicts, supported by people who listened to each other with open minds and responded with good will. Listen, three very important details are given to the church in these first six verses that many will miss. Number one, and this is where I believe it applies to us, rapid growth will challenge the resources of the church, and the church should be ready and willing to reorganize to meet those needs. What do? They adapted traditional structures and methods to facilitate the proclamation of the gospel and the welfare of the church. What does that mean? How often do we, church, get stuck in traditionalism? How often do we say to ourselves, we never did it that way. We have never done it that way. I have not been taught to do it that way. So therefore, we don't do it that way. What needs to happen is this. When a problem arises, when a need is around us, we don't just say, well, how have we always handled it? You know who's done really good at that, actually? I believe it was Jeremy. Jeremy at times has come and been like, oh, there comes the Independent Baptist coming out of you. What? What are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Well, why do you do this? Well, because that's how I've always done it. Do you see? And we do the same thing. So here, you had a method. You had a way that the apostles were leading the church. You have a way that it was going, a direction. It was growing, right? God was blessing. Oh, hold on. Boom, detour, sidetrack. Widows are being missed. What do? Well, we are the apostles, and we've always been the apostles, and we've always led the early church. No. Okay, there's a problem. How do we fix that problem? Let's put somebody over that issue, that problem. Do you see what I'm saying? And guys, we're going to come to a point where we're going to see problems and we're going to see issues arise. And it isn't here's an issue. Let's just sweep it under the rug here, right? Let's take care of it. Let's find a way for that to happen. True story. I'm trying to think how to say this. You know how I keep going on to you guys about saying hello to people, saying hi. I even put it on Facebook this last week, right? Hey, say hello to somebody. Be friendly to somebody that you don't know. Do you know why I said that? Because I've heard that that's a problem. You don't have that problem. Oh, have you guys ever, did you guys like going to cliquish churches? No, right? Because, I mean, I've heard that a lot, right? Oh, we just don't fit the mold. We just don't fit in that clique. We just, right? You don't like that. You kind of get that look like, ugh, why would, I would never do that. What if I told you that I kind of see that happening a little bit here at Faithway? What would you say about that? Nip it. Now, guys, everyone here is welcome and everyone here is a family. And you know what? Again, I want somebody to walk through that door, and I want you to just, hey, how's it going? Because, guys, we need to be friendlier. And can I be honest? That's an issue. Because how can we proclaim that we are Christians? How can we say that we have God's love, right? Hey, man, we're forgiven, and he loves me. If we can't show love and kindness and gratitude to others by a simple, how's it going? Let me ask you this. Think about it. They're not here now. They're probably listening somewhere in the building. But we just had a family here that got a new visitor's card. And I want you to ask yourself this. How many of you said hello to them? How many of you either did one of these, one of these, one of these, or for the bold, one of these? Again, don't raise your hands, but again, ask yourself that question. Who did and who didn't? When a church faces serious problems, it's an opportunity for the leaders and the members to examine the ministry to see where we can improve. When structure and ministry conflict, this gives us the opportunity to trust God for the solution. Number two, we see the neglect of the needy for any reason is unacceptable in the church. Faith in Christ transcends all ethnic and cultural differences. I don't think we have that problem here. There's just, we're not, you know, downtown, you know, city, whatever. You know what I'm saying? We don't see that. But let's ask ourselves that question. If somebody were to come in those doors and they were different. Now, I don't know what the demographics of Killingly Danielson are. But if somebody comes in that is needy, how are we going to act to that? If somebody comes in who may not look like us, how are you going to act? How are you going to act to that? If somebody comes in and let's throw it out there. Somebody comes in and maybe they, you know, might not smell the greatest. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to ignore them? Or are you going to love them? Are you going to care for them? Are you going to show them the same type of gratitude and love that Christ showed you by forgiving you? Guys, it's emotion. I know it's not something that we normally talk about, but it needs to be talked about. Any and all people need to know that we love them. Number three, in ministry, church leaders should focus on the priorities of prayer and teaching the word. The apostles delegated authority to a group within the church that had the greatest vested interest and let them solve the distribution problem. Guys, do you know what our leadership meeting is about tomorrow? Next steps, vision, discipleship, Bible study, maybe even sermon. I don't know. But that's what we're talking about and what direction we're going in tomorrow. We've been talking about, especially with the leadership team of, hey, listen, let's get together. And those that we will bring forward to be voted on elders in the future, let's have a Bible study. Let's get together. Let's find a way that we can click. What makes us do what we do? What are our spiritual gifts? How can we lead? What's your leadership style? Because it's different from person to person. But that's what we're leaning on tomorrow. And you know what's great about this? I just wanted to see what was going on, so I just called Mike yesterday. You know, and I was like, hey, Mike, how are things going with VBS? Hey, you know, he is, Pastor, I got a guy. You know, I know a guy. It scared me a little bit when he says that. But no, listen, he got up and he's like, Pastor, listen, I'm not even going to try to do the accent. We got it. We're looking at the shirts. We're going to get X amount of shirts. We're going to do this and that. And these are the sizes. Here's who we went through. Here's the prices. We got it. And you know what I was thinking? Thank God. Thank God that they have it, that the deacons got together and that's what they got. And then he's like, oh, and on top of that, working on something for Mother's Day too. I'm like, I love you, man. I love you. But why? Because then that opens us tomorrow to come together as a leadership team to talk about what matters, prayer and the Word of God. So I want you guys to seriously start asking yourselves this now. I'm dead serious. Some of you, as we talked about last week, are going to have to step up, and some of you know how to teach, and you have the gift of teaching, and you know what? You need to use it. You can't just hide it anymore and be like, not for me, or use that word, sorry, Brenda, I'm retired. You're going to have to use it, okay? Because we need it. Some of you have to step up. Some of you may not have that gift, but maybe you have the gift of hospitality. And you know what you could say? Come to my house. Use my house. But in order to go to somebody's house, we need somebody to teach so that we can have a group in that house. Does that make sense? Because the person who can host might not be the person who can teach. And the person who can teach might not be the person that can host. So we need the two to come together so that we can grow. Because do you know why people have to keep coming out of retirement? Do you guys know why? Lack of discipleship. What did you say? The younger people aren't stepping up. See, that's like a KJV MEV right there, see? You know? We haven't trained up that next generation to take that next step. Who's going to replace me? You know what we're going to have to start thinking about soon? I know, guys, I keep telling you I'm young. Some of you believe me, some of you don't. But it's going to come, most of them are like, no. But there's going to come a point where I got to figure out, okay, hey, who's going to come after me? Because you know what? He may be 15. He may be 10. I don't know. But who's going to come after? You know, I was, we went to a Plainfield Little League coaches meeting yesterday. And they were talking about, they were all making fun. And they're like, oh, what are you coaching? I'm like, oh, I'm coaching T-ball this year. Oh, you got a while. You're in this for a while. And I'm like, yeah, I am. Because I guess normally you coach whatever team your kid's on normally. And they're like, you're in this for a while. And then it was kind of weird. He said this. He said, listen, I'm in my X year of doing this. My son is almost done, and I'm on the board for the Little League team here in the town. Let me encourage you. We need people to step up. We need to know who's next. Because you know what? When we stepped up, there was nobody. And it's been us for all these years. And we need that next generation to take responsibility and say, where is this going? And to go. He's like, so don't be afraid. Looking at me, don't be afraid to step up. Because we need people like you to step up. And you know what? That brings me to today. Guys, seriously, who's going to step up? Did you guys ever? I hate it when I don't look at my notes. Have you guys ever, seriously, ask yourself, did you guys have a Sunday school teacher that impacted your life or a small group leader that you can think back on to say, man, if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for their teaching, if it wasn't for their guidance, if it wasn't for their prayers, I want that for our family. I want that for you. I want that for our children. But we need people to step up because it's not all, oh, well, oh that pastor, he does it all. No, I think we all need to contribute to it. But I want that, and that's the one thing I see now that we're lacking. And as we go into this new area, as we go into a bigger building, I need you guys to start praying now how God can use you in that area. Are you catching what I'm throwing? Are you understanding? We'll finish with this. Verse 7. So the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples grew rapidly in Jerusalem, and a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. When they were commissioned to, what they were commissioned to do is being done. They are preaching, people are receiving Christ, and disciples were being made. Believers were being saved from every strata of society because Christ is alive and his spirit is on his followers as he has promised. And what allowed this to happen is this, obedience. Despite the suffering and persecution, in spite of sin that we saw in the church early on, and in spite of conflict, the church continued to grow, and it grew because they were obedient to the commission, obedient to the command, and it is our duty as soldiers to obey our commanding officer and move forward. And in the next verses, and actually in the next couple of chapters, we will be seeing a new part of the story, and the spotlight is shed on three individuals, Stephen, Philip, and Paul. Remember that the gospel was to go forth into the world, and these men were witnesses to different ethnic groups. Stephen to the Hellenistic Jews, Philip to the Samaritans, and Paul to the Gentiles. And we're going to see how the gospel grew forward, how it moved forward, how people were saved, how people were added to the church. So let me finish with this. And I know, wow, I'm actually on time. I know. Are you doing anything about that command? All right, I'm sorry. Sorry, camera. I'm going to go off topic for a second. Hear me out. Are we comfortable sitting where we are, and are we comfortable staying there? Are we comfortable, Kyle, just finding our nice little corner seat? I sat in the front. right? You deserve this. And saying, this is where I am, and this is what I'm doing, and here is where I'm comfortable, and that's all I'm doing. Are you comfortable doing that? Or are you going to be obedient and say, God, what else do you want me to do? Because what happens is this, right? And this, and it's funny and it's true. What happens is this, is that many are called, but few answer that call and few do anything about that call. Because I guarantee you that if we sat one-on-one, many of you will say this, you know what? I used to teach. You know what? I used to disciple. You know what? I used to win souls. And now you're like, hey, I'm just enjoying the ride. Guys, you know what? I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see that where you just kind of stop. Okay, I'm done. You know what? You're right. When you're dead, you stop. Right? Because even as you get older, you are now supposed to disciple the younger people coming up. Because it says what? Hey, women, disciple those younger women that are coming up underneath you. Help them, guide them, teach them. Guys, listen to God. Again, same thing we did with the capital campaign. Did I say I want you to give X amount? Did I say I want you to pray about, listen, hold on everyone, listen. I want you to pray to God that you would give $1,000. Because $1,000 over 25, bless God, that's where we need to be. Give up that Frappuccino. Give up that mocha. Give up that. No, I didn't say that. What did I say? Pray to God, ask God how he can use you. Ask God how you can be a blessing. Ask God what his will is and obey him. And we are $20,000 more than we were 2 weeks ago. We're $5,000 away from our goal. Why? Because you've prayed. But I think it's easy for us to be like, how much you want? I got a dollar. I'll give you that, I guess. How much you want? 100? Okay, I'll give you 100. I believe that's easy because it's like, hey, here you go. But if I ask you to pray and ask God for you to be a teacher, for you to be a Sunday school teacher, for you to be a small group leader, I believe that many of you are going to do this. Okay, God, I hear you. I see what you want me to do. I understand why you want me to do that, but I'm comfortable right here. This is what I do. I sit here, and I play the guitar up there. And that's what I'm going to do because that's all I want to do. So guys, I'm asking you, I'm begging you. I just want you to pray. And I want you to ask for an answer. And say, God, how can you use me? And then when you get that answer, I want you to say, here I am. Send me. Use me to whatever that capacity is. Because we have better roles than to just fill a seat. Because while I love seeing you here on Sundays, and I love seeing the church fill up, and, you know, it's the coffee's gone, and I get excited, a little mad, but I get excited. I'm going to get more excited when you do what God asks you to do. Because you know what? Let's bring it back around. We're done. I bet you, Crystal, I'll give you an insight. Crystal did not want to go to Argentina. That was not Crystal's calling in her life. And she even said, she's like, Adrian, I believe that God has called you, and I'm your wife, and I'm here to support you to fulfill God's calling on your life. But Crystal went, and Crystal served. And I've told you the story before, and it was hard. And it was difficult because we've had to face challenges and we've had to leave family and it's been hard. But I will. I'm going to tell you how hard. I know my dad's watching. He'll make fun of me later. It's okay. My sister is about to have her first baby in October. And I'm excited about that, right? I'm excited. But then it hit me. That grandchild is going to have their grandparents for Lord knows how many years, right? They're there, and it's going to get spoiled and everything, right? And then I look back, I'm like, I took my kids away from my grandparents, from my parents. And yes, they love them, and yes, they care for them, but I took them away to follow God's leading. And as much as that hurts me that they didn't have that in their life, I can tell you that I know that we went to Argentina for a reason and that God used it and that lives were changed because we obeyed. And it wasn't all sunny and it wasn't all roses and it wasn't all always a party, but we obeyed. And what I'm asking you is this. When he speaks, will you obey? Let's stand up and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know why we do this week after week, Lord. Maybe it's my prayer. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us, God. Lord, it's one of those things where you try to follow the ingredients and you try to make a cake, and I don't know everything that goes in a cake, God, but you do. You know, but you grab the eggs and you grab the flour and you grab the butter and you grab everything that you would need to make a cake, God. But there's a certain way that it needs to go. Certain directions need to be followed. You can't just throw it all together and boom, it'll be successful, God. And Lord, as I stand here and as I look at your church, I see positions. Okay, I see the leadership team. I see that deacons are in place. I see people. I see a band. I see love and I see care and I see genuineness, God. But Lord, we can't just have all the ingredients and just throw them in a bowl and stir them together and just hope and pray that it's gonna turn out right, God. There's got to be some intentionality, God, to it. And Lord, I just pray that we narrow down and find out what that intentionality is, God. I pray, Lord, that as you call people to whatever it may be, Lord, to whether it's to serve in teaching, whether it's to be in a band, whether it's to clean, whether it's with children, whether it's to do anything, God, I just pray that the people would submit themselves to not my will, not the leadership team will, but your will. That as they hear you speak in their lives, God, that they will say, God, you have spoken. God, you have shown me what direction to go in. And Lord, I am willing. And sometimes it happens where we're willing and he just says, not right now. But I believe that the opposite is true. Where you call and you place a desire and you show people the need. And it's us who say, not right now. Lord, help us to discern your voice in this busy world that we live in. Help us to hear you. Help us to implement it, Lord. Help us to walk out these doors today, Lord, and help us to not forget what we've heard. Let it resonate in our minds, Lord, and in our hearts that we need to pray, that we need to cultivate that relationship with you. But Lord, as we grow and as we get closer to people, that's when the favors and the questions come out. Hey, would you be willing to? Hey, would you possibly? And I guess out here it's, hey, can I use your pickup truck in your trailer? And the more closer that we grow to you, the more that we're going to hear your voice. And the more that we know that you're going to lead us, Lord, to where you want us to go. And when that time happens, Lord, help us to say yes. Take us home safely today, God. In your holy and in your precious name we pray today. Amen.